Well, the rest of us, I want us to go ahead and turn over to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've been talking about perseverance, and perseverance and endurance of the believer during difficult times is something that... It's almost a, I don't want to say a rite of passage per se, but it is something that we as believers are going to experience. We're going to experience that tribulation and those trials, and how we go through those things and endure, and how we go through and persevere to the end is of the utmost importance. If you go through the book of Revelation and you see those seven churches that are there, and they're going through it. They're going through some very difficult times. I mean, those seven churches, as they're described there, those are ones that are going through some pretty intense difficulties. And as we see how God talks to them, there is a repeating phrase about overcoming. And, you know, in order to overcome those things, in order to overcome and receive those blessings that he speaks of, there has to be this purposing in the heart to do so. You know, obviously, we know during the tribulation period, that's going to be of the, you know, the utmost importance. But here in our lives right now, this is something that we are expected to have. God is communicating to us. These are the expectations of the believer's life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to start off here in verse 24 this morning, it specifically says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Now, there's a lot there that goes on, and we'll get to this in just a moment, but I want us to just realize that when we are called of God to do something, and everybody is called to serve in some way, shape, or form. As I've stated before, there is, you know, to quote Spurgeon, there is no believer that is meant to be a blank or a nothing in this life. Everybody is intended to have good works, as Ephesians 2 talks about, to do those things. He's ordained us to do that. And when ordination is given, that is, if you will, something that is being shown to us. It's something that is being required of us. It is something that is specifically a calling to us to do these things. And there's a lot to talk about when we start talking about a calling, but we're not going to go into that this morning. But we need to start off with this understanding that as a servant, as we serve God, as we do those things that he asks us to do, and there's a list of all these things that we find here, and while this may be a pastoral epistle, the servant of God is everyone. That's not just pastors, that's not just elders, that's not just bishops, that's just not preachers and evangelists and Sunday school teachers. That's every single believer that is out there. And it says, patience is necessary. We have to be patient. Before we get too much further into this, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you again, Lord, that we have this opportunity, Lord, to learn of you. And I pray, Lord, that as we focus upon this issue of patience this morning in perseverance and in enduring, that, Lord, we would understand how critical it is for our Christian life. That, Lord, we would exemplify that standard that you've put forth of Christ, that we would live in such a way that individuals would see that, and they would know that it is something that is not of this world, but it is something that is from you. I pray, Lord, that you just be with me this morning, that, Lord, you'd give me the clarity of mind, the speech, Lord, to say the things that you desire and are according to your will. Thank you again for all that you've done for us. And this I ask in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we see here about being patient is we find, as it's very clear here, this is required of a servant. You know, there's a lot of things that the Lord talks about as far as requirements. You know, you go over there, 1 Corinthians 4, and he says it's required of a steward that they be found what? Faithful. I mean, that's something that we understand, that we are given a stewardship in this life, with this this life that Christ has given us, this new creature, that we are supposed to do something with it. We're not to just sit on our hands and if you will, casually go through life doing our own will, doing what we think is right, but doing what the Lord asks us to do. That stewardship is something that is required of us, and that steward is required to be found faithful. So what we find here is, in this passage, we realize that as he's talking to Timothy, and again, I'm not going to go through the entire book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, but Timothy had some issues. He was struggling with some things. There was a lot of fear that Timothy had, and Paul had to kind of correct that, as we see where he talks about God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Meaning that when we focus on fear, we're irrational. Which is the way, you know, I mean, let's just understand that concept. And here he is saying, look, if you're going to go through some of these things, you're going to go through these difficulties, you need to understand that one of the key parts of this is you got to be patient. There's a lot of things when we start talking about waiting on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord, that wait and patience are different. Because you can have people wait and be impatient. I'm sure that everybody has their own analogy and their own experience about it, but I will tell you this, working in an ambulatory pharmacy, there is nothing worse than a mother who has forgot to get the refill for their child's ADHD medication. And they sit there or stand there at the counter, and the whole time they're just watching you and staring you, and you feel them like the burning, you know, of their eyes as they're just waiting for it. And they keep looking at their watch, and that's back when they had watches, okay? Not their phones, but they were, you know, just the impatience behind it. But they were still waiting. So many times when we wait on the Lord, it's going to be the attitude of our heart that is going to be the determination of whether or not we're doing it for the Lord. Because look, people can wait on the Lord and they can wait impatiently. Sarah got a little impatient with God and created a whole slew of trouble. Still going through it. But you understand that when we look at this life and we go through these troubles and we go through all of these things, that if we don't have that patience in our Christian life, the patience of God, you know what's going to happen? We are going to be those individuals that are going to be constantly troubled. We're going to be troubled in our mind. We're going to be the worrier. The person that is so worried about everything in their life. That anxiety, which is a normal thing that people experience, that is supposed to be used correctly for the Lord, becomes their God, if you will, and dominates their life. And they never have peace. And they sit there and they do what Mike was talking about just the other Sunday. What do? We sit there and we fret. We fret and we fret and we fret. And that's not the Christian life. That's not peace. That's not joy. Those are things that are opposite of that. So when we look at this, and we get, you know, again, just to kind of give a definition of what patient is, it's having a quality of enduring evils without murmuring. You realize how bad murmuring can get? What would have only taken a short period of time resulted in 40 years in the wilderness because of murmuring. Murmuring is just going to cause you problems. So what do we have to do? We have to be patient. We have to wait on the Lord in a patient manner. And again, as it is, having that quality of enduring difficulties. Things that are going to be harmful to us. Things that are going to be not in our benefit. There's this patience. Part of the definition here, there's kind of the you know, continuing with it. It's sustaining afflictions of body or mind with calm submission to God's will. Now let's think about that for a moment. Let's just think about that, if you will, that phrase and what that means. Sustaining afflictions with calm submission to God's will. We've all seen the person that is not patient. They're typically frantic, aren't they? Man, I mean, at some point in time, you just want to grab a hold of them and slap them and say, stop it. Because they're just, you know, they're just like so intense, and you're just like, just stop for a moment. Because they're in a constant panic mode. And I'll tell you this, here is where the rubber meets the road when we start talking about things of perseverance and we start talking about the Christian life. It is going to be the attitude of your heart that God is going to be looking at. Because if we are the ones that are not, let's say, okay, well, we're going to wait on the Lord, and yes, okay, we're going to submit to the Lord's will, but if we're not doing it with that calm heart and that peace the way that He has given it to us, that peace that passeth all understanding, and we're just sitting there fretting the whole time, and we're just making mountains out of molehills, and we're just, what are we doing? We're destroying our souls, if you will. Being patient means not easily provoked. Calm under suffering or injuries. Persevering. It's interesting that persevering is kind of part of the definition of patience. Persevering and in constant pursuit of something. Patience is a constant thing. Patience isn't something that you just pick out of the box when you need it. Patience is a life of how we live. You don't want to just be patient when you're going through things. You want to be patient your entire life. So when we start talking about perseverance and we start talking about endurance, we're talking about the entirety of the Christian life. We're not talking about just the difficulties, just the trials. Because if that's the time that you say, well, man, I guess I need to better, you know, get some patience. Well, you're really a few steps behind. You got a lot of catching up to do. It says being patient means not hasty. Somebody that just leaps before they look gets themselves into trouble. Somebody that speaks before they think about it gets themselves into trouble. And we all have the wonderful example in Scripture, and yeah, everybody picks on him, but there's Peter. He's impatient. He's impulsive. Just the way that he responds to things. At one point in time, he responds the right way, and the Lord commends him on that. He responded because the Holy Spirit showed him something, and he responded accordingly. And then the next time Peter opens his mouth, he gets rebuked. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then the next time he opens his mouth, he's like, let's build tabernacles. And he's thinking only on the flesh. That's not the right thing to do right then and there, Peter. We see him, you know, getting impulsive. There they come to take the Lord, and what does he do? Out comes the sword and starts chopping people's ears off. I could go into ears right now, but I'm not going to. There's a lot to be said about ears at this point in time, but you understand what I'm saying is he was a little impatient with these things. But what we find is we find that all of this definition, if you will, that we find in a scriptural sense is something that this servant is required to have. Go over to the book of Psalms, and you know, we obviously saw this the other day in Psalm 37, where he was talking about, and I mentioned it, and Mike mentioned it also, where it says, rest in the Lord, and it says, wait patiently for him. So Psalm 37 specifically identifies that waiting and patience are two different things. Because that patiently part is describing how we wait, because you can wait impatiently. And he says that we're supposed to obviously wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. But if you go over to Psalm chapter 40, a couple chapters over, I want you to see something specifically in verse 1 about what happens here. When patience is exercised in our Christian life, there is a benefit. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Person that is not patient, is not patiently waiting for the Lord, that is a person that isn't even going to offer up a cry. Because they're going to try to fix it themselves. They're not going to go to prayer. And if they do go to prayer, it's the impatient prayer. Of, Lord, why, you know, you need to fix this. I'm done. And not realizing that there are things that they need to do. Realizing that God isn't going to come down and stick his hand in there and do things. You know, again, I've seen it. There's a Christian comedian that makes fun of those things. It's like, you know, again, here this person is, and they're praying for their food, and they're like, oh, Lord, please make this Cheeto turn into broccoli as it goes down my throat. That's sometimes the mentality that we pray with, isn't it? Lord, I want that miracle in my life, but I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. Waiting patiently means, as we talked about, submission to God's will. And submission to God's will means that we're doing the things that we need to be doing right now while we wait for the Lord to do what he is going to do. So many times people just sit there and they just like, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let the Lord miraculously come and do something, and they don't do the first part, which is submit to him. And they get things backwards. Turn over the book of Ecclesiastes, and in the Ecclesiastes, it becomes very clear. I mean, here's somebody that has gone through some stuff. You know, here's Solomon. He's gone through some real challenges, if you will, in his life. Many of them self you know, brought upon him by himself. And here he is towards the end of his life talking about what it means to be somebody that is a believer, essentially. And we go over there to where it talks about in Ecclesiastes 12. It talks about what the purpose of life is. And he says, for this is the whole duty of man. And what is that? It's to fear God and to keep his commandments in verse 13. And he says that's the conclusion of the matter. And here he is after going on for 12 chapters, talking about all the things that he tried and realized it's worthless, as he says, vanity. And he says the only thing that is worth doing, the only thing that is worth anything, is fearing God and keeping his commandments. That's it. Everything else is just, if you will, a bunch of hot air, a bunch of nothing. So what do we find here in chapter 7? I want you to take a look at Ecclesiastes 7. And look at what he says. He says in verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And we can relate to that. You know, when you start a project, you're like, this is a lot. This is going to be big. And it kind of sometimes gets overwhelming. But then as you finish the project, you put the last nail in the frame or whatever it is, you put the last piece of paint on there, however it is, you know, you finally type the end at the end of whatever it is you're writing. Whatever it may be, you know, there's just, if you will, that sense of relief. And here he says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, that right there, that last part of that verse is so important. Because what happens? Our pride gets in the way of our patience. Why? Because we want it in our time. See, we are creatures of time. We got a clock on the back over there. We got, you know, clocks on our phones and on our tablets. There's clocks everywhere. There's clocks in our car. I mean, they're all over the place, right? Why is that? Because we have time. We have to go through certain things and get things done in a certain, you know, amount of time. I mean, the other day, they put out a warning. They said, hey, if you're going to be coming southbound through on I-5 through Woodland, give yourself an extra 90 minutes. I'm like, 90 minutes? Yeah. It's that bad. We drove up to Winlock the other day, and we were talking to the Griffies, and because they're getting ready to head back east with you know, the sale of their property and everything, and we were dropping some stuff off for them, and as we were going up, I'm looking at the traffic going, good grief, that is just ridiculous. There's just so much. And I look at that and I think, you know, people are impatient. People are impatient. Because I know that there's people in that, you know, in that mess that are sitting there. And what are they doing? They're sitting there and they're you know, obviously they're not doing it with their foot on the gas or on the brake, but the other one's just sitting there like, you know, doing the little jiggle things. And they're sitting there and they're like drumming and they're sitting there like, come on, come on, come on. I got places to be, places to go. I'll tell you, living up in Seattle taught me a good lesson. Just wait. Because it's not worth it. And people just get so impatient. And that's all their lives are. They're just sitting there, and if you will, troubled in their mind because they're not willing to do it. And you know what that is? That's pride. It's pride because it's like, well, I got to be first. The guy that races past you, and he gets to the stoplight before you do. And you both sit at the stoplight. Well, congratulations, you got there faster. I mean, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, in my life, I've just looked at it and I've started to realize it's just, sometimes it's just not that important to be first. What is, I mean, and look, that is ingrained in us, isn't it? Competition. Sport. I got to be number one. And they become so focused upon those things that when it's not achieved, they short circuit. But people are impatient. They can't wait. They want that now. They want the immediate. The perfect example of that individual is the prodigal. You go over there in Luke 17 and he starts talking about it. And what does he demand of his father? His inheritance. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but typically, doesn't the inheritance happen after somebody passes away? I mean, you know, he couldn't even wait for his father to leave this earth. He had to have it now. He had to have it now. And there's, I mean, honestly, if you were to sit there and analyze that whole concept right there about what the prodigal was thinking when he asked that, there's just so much sin that is involved, and there's just so much detriment to his life that came about. I mean, think about it for just a moment. He wanted the inheritance now. His father had not yet passed. How much more would he have added to the inheritance? And that's the problem, is people get impatient. People get impatient for promotions. People get impatient, you know, I got two college students. Hopefully they are not getting impatient to be done with their degrees, you know, just to get it done, you know. You understand that it becomes a prideful spirit that the Lord says, that's a problem. And he says, you know what is better than that? Patience. But we are so ingrained about how great pride is, we lose sight that it hinders the patient part, which is better. I mean, think about it. Just for a moment. I'm just going to use a very simple example. Have you ever had a hamburger that is, I mean, and if you don't like hamburgers, okay, that's your issue. But I'm talking about the perfect patty. Well-seasoned, juicy, the right amount of cheese on it, everything. I mean, it's just the perfect burger. And if you've ever had one of those, it's just fantastic. It's amazing, isn't it? And then you go to McDonald's. And from the moment that you order it and say, I want a McDouble, and you drive to the first window and hand them your $50, and then you get to the second window, voila, you magically have this hot thing in your hand. And you pull over to the side of the road or pull into a parking stall, or maybe you're doing the whole thing where you're driving and eating at the same time. Not a good idea, but I understand we do it. But there you are, and you're eating this piece of meat that is hot, but it's kind of like, you know what? It's not that juicy burger that I just described that people crave. It's just something to put in your belly to hopefully give you some nourishment. Now, some people like that, and that's fine. Okay, whatever. You know, I'm not going to sit there and pick that apart. But you understand there's a big difference from a McDonald's burger and one that is done nice and right. There's a big difference. One's better than the other. One is better than the other. When we rush things, we make mistakes. The job that I have, you know, people have this idea and this understanding. I don't know where it comes from, but for some strange reason, they think that in the legal world, it's like the fast food industry. That voila, magically, we're going to produce some sort of agreement, and boom, here it is in 5 minutes, and, you know, send you out the door, and everything's great. No, if you want it done right, you take your time. It's not a race to get it out the door. It's not a race. And I understand there are times that, you know, priorities come up, things happen in our life. We got to get some things done, and that I get that. But that should be a rare occurrence. It shouldn't be 33% of what gets submitted is a rush. So you understand what I'm saying is when we do that, what happens? We miss things. We overlook things. It's not a job that's done right. Patience is better. Solomon, the wisest, says patience is better. Go over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, talking about God, it says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. We need to keep that in mind. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Here he is talking about being patient in well-doing. Just like I was talking about, we get to so frantic sometimes that we choose the easiest thing and it's not being done well. It's just being done. It's just kind of there. And you know what? That's not supposed to be the Christian life. Just there. He says here to them, and again, just as a reminder, he is going to render to every man according to his deeds, and patience is part of that. You realize when you go over there, 1 Corinthians 3, and God is taking those things that we have done for him, and they get put into that fire, and it's going to be tried, patience is going to be part of that. Because it's attitude of heart. It's intent. Is why did you do it? And did you do it the right way? Again, perfect example. It was great to bring the ark back, just not on a cart. It was the right thing to do, but it was done the wrong way, and now there's a body in the street. And the party's over. Everything stops. So we begin to understand very clearly that the Lord says, look, we need to be, as he says here, patient, continuance in well-doing. There again, we see that, if you will, the continuation of doing things, but it must be done in the patient manner. Continuing in prayer is great, but if you're not continuing in prayer, patiently waiting for God, you're beginning to insert yourself into the mix, the pride that comes in. Go over Romans 12. Romans 12:12 again identifies some key things. And again, the whole category of what we're talking about in Romans 12 is transforming our thinking. As he says in verse 2, being be transformed by the renewing of your mind, meaning that you need to change some things. You need to take that and begin to realize that this isn't the right way to do it. I need to think differently. And here's throughout this entire chapter is the way you need to think through things. And he has all these things that we're supposed to go through and if you will, the filter by which we think these things. And he says here in verse 12, here is, if you will, some of this mindset of how we're supposed to be serving the Lord. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And that becomes part of our thinking process. That we're patient in those trials. We're patient during those difficulties. And again, that patience, as we talked about, is again having that calmness. Having that quality of enduring without the murmuring. Without the mumbling under the breath. Without the sitting there going, God, why aren't you doing anything? And that's the thing is, you know what? God is always active. God is always working. There's not a moment that he is not. The Bible makes that clear. It says the amount of times he thinks about you is innumerable. That's active. That's active. And that's for each one of us here. There's always activity with the Lord. He's not just sitting idle. We're the ones that have a tendency to sit idle. We're the ones that just sit there and just go like, oh, well, I guess, I don't know. Yeah. That's not... God wants us to wait in a patient way during those difficult times. There's supposed to be some continuance in the well-doing. And I'll tell you this, that's the interesting part, because when you start looking at what goes on with the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, sometimes we become so focused on those circumstances and so focused on what's going on that we sacrifice, if you will, doing what is right. That's not what God wants. That's not how God designed it to be. If you take a look over there in 1 Thessalonians, where, again, the Lord is trying to give some comfort to some people that are going through some difficult times, and the Thessalonians went through some rough stuff, and they were actually even asking, is this the tribulation? What's going on here? You know, they were going through some persecution. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 14, what does he say here? And he says, now we exhort you, brethren. Here's an exhortation. Here's something that he's really, if you will, pressuring them, putting on them, encouraging them, beseeching them to do. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. People just often, want to just stop right there. Because the next one is kind of hard, isn't it? Be patient toward all men. You ever get impatient with a person? Maybe they're not moving fast enough for you? I'll tell you this. As a pastor, one thing that you always have to realize is people are going to grow at different rates. You can't expect them to grow overnight in Christ. So what do you have to do? You have to patiently wait on God. Because I can't make you learn something. I can't make you grow. That is all between you and God. I can show you what's going to inhibit growth. I can show you what's going to promote growth. But look, I can't give you everything that you need to do that, because that's all given by the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Because if a person, and look, I can sit there and I can go through every single thing about what you need to do, but if that person is not listening to the Holy Spirit, I might as well be talking to the wall. But what I'm getting at here is when we start looking at that being patient toward all men, we have to understand that God is telling us that, look, there are going to be some people in your life that are going to, you know, they're going to produce some challenges, aren't they? You know, we think about tribulation, about going through something, right? You lose your job. Your car breaks down. You get a cold. You get COVID. You go through surgeries. But you understand that sometimes tribulation is a person? Sometimes it's an individual in your life. And you know what God says? We need to be patient toward them. No, just stop. When we sit there and we think about it in a very different way, and we think about how the Lord wants us to do these things, we have to realize that that patience dealing with an individual is of the utmost importance. Can you save a soul? Well, who does the salvation? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that did. He died on the cross. He's the one that shed the blood. He's the one that rose from the dead. It's Him. All of it is Him. I cannot save anybody. I couldn't even save myself. But let's understand this concept about this for a moment. When we start thinking in that way, we realize I can't make somebody be saved. I can't make them accept Christ. I can't pull out a knife, a gun, a sword, whatever it is, and convert them to Christianity. Don't work that way. Other religions think it does. But that's not how God told us to go and if you will, be a witness to individuals. So you know what you have to do? You have to patiently speak to them. Patiently show them from the Word of God. My family, we witnessed to a Muslim boy for 3 years. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than that. Sometimes it almost seems like a lifetime. But you have to be patient with them. And you know what perseverance is, as we talked about in the very beginning, is don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on the person. Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you? We have to understand this idea that this is what the Lord is asking us to do. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians and take a look here about what he says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'll tell you this, in this day and age, we get a lot of this going on. There's people that are so impatient that they want the Lord to come back right now. Yeah. I get it. I understand. You know, we look at this world and we go, good grief. I mean, because if it's not one thing, it's another, and it just seems to be increasing, and it just seems to be getting worse, and it just, you know, we're just sitting there going, even come quickly, you know, Lord Jesus. It's like, you know, we have that desire. But you know what? It's not wrong to have the desire that the Lord would return. But what we need to do in that period of time is to wait patiently. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 5, he says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, I want you to look at that verse and realize that it's the Lord directing you into this patience. Patience isn't just going to, you sprinkle some Christian fairy dust, and then boom, all of a sudden you got patience. Right? No, it's the Lord directing. Now, what does that mean, directing? That means He's telling you how to get into it, how to have that patience in your life. And that's all through the Word of God. People sit there and they get the wrong idea about how they're going to get patience. They think patience is going to somehow, just magically be there. Sometimes they think patience is some sort of, if you will, inherited trait. It's not. It's a behavior that is taught. It is a behavior and an attitude of heart that is directed by God in our life. And look, if we're not listening to the Lord, and we're not in the Word of God, and we're not responding to those things, we are not being directed of God. And the end result is what? We're impatient, we're frantic, we're fretters, we're worriers, and we have troubled minds. But the Lord is the one that's going to direct that. The Lord is the one that's going to guide that. I want us to take a look at one more thing over in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, actually two more things. We'll take a look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 15 here, it's talking about Abraham. And it says, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know what? Abraham had to wait a while. He had to wait a while to see that promise of God about multiplying the people. How long did he have to wait? Well, he was dead. There was a patient. A patiently enduring, waiting for that promise. And this is the mindset that we have to enter into the Christian life. We need to be patient when we endure. Those promises that God has, the promise of eternal life, the promise of a redeemed body, all those things, we got to wait for that. Because it's all in God's timing, not ours. No man knows the day nor the hour, right? That's the Lord's, and the Lord's alone to have, not ours. And isn't it interesting that He doesn't give us a specific date or time? Why is that? Probably because we would make more of the day than anything else. And lose sight of who the day is about Christ. And people would be not working with the right motive, serving with the right intent, and they wouldn't be doing it in a patient manner. I want you to see one more thing over in 1 Peter, as I said, and we'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says here in verse 19, he says, for this is thankworthy. This is something that, you're supposed to give thanks for. This is worthy of giving thanks. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. If you're doing what is right and you suffer for it, give thanks for it. That's worthy of giving thanks. Because in verse 20 it says, for what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. this is acceptable with God. What is that? We take it patiently. And patience is a very difficult thing for a person that is not focused upon Christ. Patience is a difficult thing for somebody that is not in the Word of God. Patience is a difficult thing for somebody that is not purposed to do God's will, to listen to it, to submit to it. It's tough. It's real tough. But God just says, patience. Patience. God is not he's not bound by time. We are. We're creatures of time. How do we know that? In the beginning. There was a start. There was a start. And better is the end of it, right? The new heaven and the new earth. So we understand that there's some patience that must be exemplified in our Christian life if we are going to please God, if we're going to be acceptable in His sight. That is part of persevering and enduring in this life. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for this time. I thank You again for the opportunity, Lord, to learn from You. I pray, Lord, that we would take these things and we would apply them, that, Lord, we would seek to be directed into Your patience, that, Lord, we would be patient in waiting for You. We'd be patient toward each other and all men. That, Lord, we'd be patient during the trials and the afflictions. And we'd be patient in the well-doing that pleases You. And, Lord, what You say is acceptable. Lord, again, I just pray that You continue to be with us for this 11 o'clock hour. And I thank You for all that You've done for us. And I pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.